Too many movies will rot your brain. Today on Podcast Magoria.
Welcome to another episode of Podcast Magoria.
We're James and Autumn.
Oh. Yes. Yes, dear listeners, we're back for our Halloween hangover as usual. We had to have a little breaky poo because of the fact that 26 movies is just a lot.
Yeah, it is. And to lift the veil a little bit, this year, we got started very early on our Halloween A to Z, earlier than most years. We were still working into October.
Yeah, in years past, and I think I've mentioned this before on either other Halloween hangovers or even our year roundup, where I go, yeah, some years we are watching the movie, recording the episode, editing and releasing all in the same day, which I'm over. I'm not doing that ever again.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not, I'm not doing that. That is, no. So, yeah. So, this year, we actually had our list figured out pretty early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, like, yeah, we started recording probably about a month earlier than we usually do and got a lot of it done. And then, as time goes on and you get a little comfortable, you know, it gets a little bit more hectic, but still, like, we were able to actually exist as humans and ghouls during October.
Yes.
And get to do a lot of stuff that we usually in years past have been so busy doing this show that we weren't able to actually enjoy our favorite month of the year.
Yeah.
And so it was nice this year being able to juggle both and add in additional stuff that we have never done before.
Yeah.
And so we'll get to all the additional stuff after we get done talking about our tops and bottoms, or our bottoms and tops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's why people listen to the Halloween Hangover, to kind of get our final opinions.
Yeah.
On what was actually good and what just stunk.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I mean, like, and I do see in the metrics, like, after we do a Halloween hangover, the go back and listen, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'll see the whatever movies we mention in this episode. Usually ones that people go back and listen to. So cool. Whether or not that means that the episodes that that are for the movies that we list are the good ones, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you do
it's
what you want to do.
It's just our personal opinion on
what was the best and what was the worst.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think we usually start with our bottoms.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's go ahead and knock those out.
Yeah, because these are some real stinkers.
Yeah. Now, that being said, this here was hard because we had a solid list this year.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think the bad movies were the obvious ones this year, for sure.
Yeah.
But it really was. It was hard to narrow down my top favorites this year.
Well, you know, what we do every year is we always throw in palate cleansers.
Yeah.
Movies that we're familiar with. And, you know, just because of the fact that we never know, because often our lists are movies that neither of us have seen.
Yeah.
And so going in, you don't really know if you're going to, if it's going to even be a good season.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, what if we're miserable the entire time?
I feel like this year we had a lot of movies that we had a either base knowledge on or had already seen.
Yeah.
And we say a lot in the episodes that there's a lot of nostalgia goggles going on.
Yes, yeah. It's nonstop nostalgia goggles. All right. I guess I'll start with my number five for my bottom five.
Right.
Keeping the streak alive, no singing jingle numbers.
Yep. Still no number jingles.
Nope. So imagine that there's a radio broadcast style jingle that says the number every time we list a movie. All right. My number five, was Dr. Fibes. I struggled with this movie a lot because of the fact that there are... Well, first of all, I feel that a Vincent Price movie should never be in a bottom.
Oh, no, no. Like, because he's such a legend.
Yeah. And there's so many people that absolutely adore this movie, still kind of inexplicably to me.
Out of his movies, this is the weakest one.
That we've watched so far.
That we've watched so far. Because there are a couple of stragglers out there that I still haven't seen.
Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine.
No, what? I've seen that.
No, but I'm saying that's not horror, but that's not a good movie. He himself was embarrassed of that movie.
Like, oh, come on. But that's got such a classic song, and, you know?
Yeah, in case you forget the name of the film. Yeah, yes.
Well, it's funny you say that your number five is Dr. Fibes because mine, too, is Dr. Fibes.
Hey.
So we can kind of discuss a little bit.
Yes.
It's just that the humor is way too dry.
Sure. Yeah.
Because it is a horror comedy. Mm-hmm. And I'm still mad that I am a dry humor connoisseur.
Yeah.
And I don't get the humor.
Yeah. It cracks me up. Not this movie, but the situation with this, our relationship now with this film, because I can't tell you how many top 10 or top 25 lists I've seen of the top 10 best horror comedies, and they usually use a screenshot from this film.
Yeah, it's like, crazy.
I'm like, where is...
Okay, so I had to actually watch this film like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
All in a row because I had to make the edits.
Yeah.
Because I got clips from this for the preview, the Halloween A to Z preview. I did an edit for Fibes and I got another edit coming up with a clip from Fibes.
Yeah.
So I've seen this movie multiple times now.
Yeah.
And I will say that that unicorn death scene still cracks my shit up. Every single time I see it.
Yeah. So I will say that this movie, why it's number 5 and not number 1.
Exactly. You know, yeah.
Because it's not necessarily a bad film.
Yeah.
Like, I think that why it makes my bottom 5 is because it's mediocre.
Right.
I wasn't necessarily super entertained. I mean, the opening is fantastic. And there's we say even in the episode that there's so much talent in the mix. Mm-hmm.
And it's got really beautiful shots.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film.
Because, I mean, if you go to our TikTok and you watch the Fibes edit, you'll see, like, all the great shots that I chose from it.
Yeah.
Because it is beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it for that reason.
Yeah, it's just, it's a little sloppy. The pacing is weird.
There's odd choices for the kills.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
Maybe that was the humor, is that it's just so, like, batshit insane, the kills, maybe?
I guess.
So Batman villain-like?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing, is the movie comes off very 66 Batman.
Yeah, and especially the ice machine.
Yeah, yeah.
That is so like Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just like I said, I kind of have this complicated mentality towards it because of the fact that I don't hate it.
Yeah.
But it's just, I think that was definitely one of the weaker movies on our list this year.
For sure.
All right, let's move down to number 4. I'll let you. Mm-hmm. We'll switch back and forth. So, what's your 4?
My number 4 is You Should Have Left.
Ah.
Yet again, one that I didn't want to put high up on the list, but it still needed to be on the list because the story has so much potential.
Mm-hmm.
It just needs better execution.
Yeah.
And it's on my bottoms because I was so sorely disappointed.
Yeah.
In the execution of the film. I need a spooky house film that's got multiple rooms that's growing and all that stuff. Essentially, Monster House.
Yeah.
But I need it to actually be spooky and scary and not, oh, I'm confused by the dialogue and I'm confused by the characters' relationships. Why is this mostly a love story?
Yeah, yeah, it didn't need that at all. And I think that if you wanted to experience something that was similar for what this was trying to accomplish, I was often thinking about Layers of Fear.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, because I love that stuff. I love like a person going into a room, turning around, the door's gone, they look back and they're in a hallway.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. And they start to, they start doing that stuff in the last little bit.
Yeah, and they still don't do it properly, though.
No, no.
Because they could have used that device so well.
Yeah. I think that the issue, especially like the big chase scene, if you want to call it that, for when he's trying to find his daughter and he's running around, running through doors, running through hallways, doing mm-hmm. his Take On Me dance in the hallway.
Uh-huh.
I think that the filmmakers lost track of what scene, like what shots were preceding what shots.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that, yeah, you're supposed to get disoriented, but eventually it just kind of felt like they were throwing in, they weren't keeping track of what made sense. Because right. the fact that I think that there's even certain moments where he's more sweaty than he is in the next shot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's not sweaty at all, or then he's super sweaty, but then he's not sweaty. And it's just like, yeah. Okay. Like, the house, though magical or evil or what we want to say about it, extra dimensional, that, fine. The house itself can defy the law of physics all day. I don't care. But the survivor still has to be suffering in a continuous way that makes sense.
Yeah. He should have just been getting more sweaty as he went along.
And so I think that they kind of lost track in the, I think that's just an editing error.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big problem with the movie as a whole, as far as editing errors go. Like, I think that there's a lot of stuff that just kind of gets, you know, just kind of lost in the sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll go ahead and do my number four, which is Extro 3.
Oh, you put that pretty low on your list.
Yes, because I think that though it's not a good movie, it is still entertaining.
Hmm.
I think that, you know, I can watch that and make fun of it with friends. Versus like Extro 2,
yeah, which that is was just a drag.
It's just, it's so hard to get through, and this one is just like, yeah, this is kind of hard to get through, but it still has charm because anytime the extra aliens on screen, never scary.
No, he's a little scamp.
He's a little scamp. He's a little fairy scamp.
A little fairy scamp.
But because of that, I was just like, well, this isn't the worst. Like, because I'm still in between being incredibly bored still or annoyed by just the nonsense,
mm-hmm.
I'm still going, oh, well, this is a pretty fun moment. This is fun enough like that. I'm like, all right, this is not maybe an episode of Tales from the Crypt or even Tales from the Dark Side, but this is definitely has that sensation of like one of the crappier episodes of Monsters.
This
is Monsters level.
Yeah.
You know, where it's just like, oh, okay, this got rejected by all these other shows and this was the leftovers. Mm. And that's what I get from it. The shots of the lady when she's in the spider web.
Yeah, the webbing.
The webbing. That was something that I was like, this is extra. This is what I came here for. And so that's it caught me.
I wish it had more of that weirdness in it.
Yes.
Though.
Yeah, because
instead
it started
of being so serious military.
Yeah.
Blah.
It's a waste.
It is.
All right. Moving right along from Extro 3, I'll say my number 3.
Number 3.
Oh, hey, thank you. and that is Skinamarink.
Can I go ahead and say my number 3 then?
Yes.
Because it is also Skinamarink.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Middle of the road bad because mm-hmm. yet another movie that I see a lot of potential with.
Yeah.
Just there's something that could have been done different. Just know it.
Yeah I can't put my finger on it, but and as we I mean, it was recording the episode for Skinamarink was a chore.
It was,
well, it was really like, I mean, I was shocked that it was as long as it was.
We originally just wanted to do like little sounds and
yeah We want to do basically, we want to do a parody of the movie as an episode.
Yeah, because we honestly had no idea how we were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
I think we did a well enough job,
mm-hmm.
but still, yeah, it made my bottoms because it's not the worst,
but it's boring. There were moments, and I don't even think I said it in the episode, you know, and so I'll be fair and go, I would say out of that entire film, there's probably about 10 minutes of it that I was like, oh, I'm getting the chill.
Yeah, like the scenes where it showed just like complete darkness mm-hmm. on a hallway.
Yeah.
And you could maybe kind of see shapes. You don't know if it's stuff that was put in by the filmmakers or if it's your own eyes betraying you.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think watching it late at night by yourself in the dark, maybe you could get a little scared, a little ooh.
Yeah.
But it still is. I heard so many people talking about how it was the scariest ding dang movie they'd ever seen.
Yeah.
No.
You know,
I think you had to have a very certain kind of childhood trauma, maybe.
I think that might be it. I think that maybe the trauma thing is a part of it. And I think maybe the people that that feel that strongly about it, like, maybe this it's just horror's different for them.
Yeah.
And that's maybe not the discount.
Maybe they were able to put themselves a little more into, like, a certain mindset while they were watching it.
Well, that's, like, when I got the spooky feeling, I started to kind of revert. I was trying to watch it through my inner child's eyes.
Yeah, like, during the scenes where it's, like, the cartoon on the TV mm-hmm. and the living room looks all, like, jumbled up and whatnot. Yeah. Like, I really did, like, kind of revert to...
Mm-hmm.
you know, 5-6 years old in that moment and trying to think of how it felt to be up that late watching TV and whatnot. And, you know, it gave me a little chill
because
I was in that mindset, but I couldn't stay in that mindset for the whole movie.
Because eventually your mind starts to wander to what else could I be doing?
While
literally nothing is happening. It's just, one of those picture frames, those digital picture frames,
mm-hmm.
is just as scary and entertaining as this movie.
Yes.
Like, I could just, like, sneak in every once in a while, every, like, 5 or 6 pictures, something fucking weird.
Yeah, like Mr. Skinamarink himself, the phone.
Yeah, you know, and then just do that, and that would be just as scary as this movie. And I look forward to seeing, because I think there's talent.
Yeah. Since we reviewed Skinamarink, A24 has announced that they want to do another project with that director.
Yeah.
So I am really curious to see what else he's got under his sleeve.
Yeah.
Especially because this does come from a really cool concept, as we mentioned in our episode.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I am excited to see what he's got.
Yeah. All right. What's your number two?
My number two is actually Extro 3.
Okay.
It made it higher up on my list because it still doesn't have the charm or the magic of the first Extro.
What a weird thing to say.
I know. Exactly. I never thought that I would love the first Extro.
Yeah.
But after seeing the sequels now, I'm like, okay, Extro 1 is the best horror movie, I think. But I hate that military stuff so much.
Yeah.
I wish that some of the effects were a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I, of course, always wish dialogue was better.
Yeah.
And Extro's really cute, but he could have been a little more creepy, like the first two Extros.
Yeah, because, I mean, all things said for Extro 2, their knockoff Xenomorph is pretty good.
Yeah, it's cool looking. Yeah, it's more actually scary.
And I think we say that in Extra 2 episode that it remind me of the Polymorph from Red Dwarf.
Yeah, that's exactly what it reminds me of.
but yeah, and it's so weird. As the years have gone on, I still I still regard Extra One as one of the worst movies that we've watched as a whole. Like, I think it's an awful film. However, I have come around so much on that, and because I have talked about it so much to so many people, and I've referenced it in a lot of episodes and such, that one, I actually want to own Extra One.
Well, yeah.
Like, I want to have that movie. And I think Arrow has a fancy pants edition of it. And so I would like to have it. But also, I think I've come around, because I've watched a lot of other movies that are very similar in bizarreness to Extra One, where I'm like, you know what? I think Extra One actually executed what kind of film it is very well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I wish the others had kind of followed suit on just weird alien story rather than the government stepping in and taking care of aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, have a weird alien story that also has a very bizarre paranormal factor to it.
Yeah.
Because Extra One is very reminiscent to The House Next to the Cemetery. Is another movie that's like complete nonsense and just has a lot of it's just like you kind of just go, what the fuck's happening? I love that film.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh my God. So when we eventually get around to talking about Italian horror, maybe that will be one that we review, because I think that it'll be entertaining enough.
okay.
But all right, so my number two was You Should Have Left.
And it made it further on your list.
It made it way higher on my list, just flat out because the dialogue is absolute hot fucking garbage.
Like, yes.
So I didn't have the attachment to that movie like you did, because you're a House of Leaves fan. I didn't read it. Everything I know about it is through you or me trying to read the Wikipedia, which is challenging.
And this definitely did not hold a flame to that book.
No. It's, and
people comparing it to that book is honestly kind of an insult.
Absolutely. Well, I think that this movie is, and I hate to, because I always hate to kind of just flat out shit on a film and just go, don't watch, awful, this is crap, and nothing about's good, and everybody attached to it, just fuck it. They fucked up. They just fucked up all around.
Sorry, Mr. Bacon.
Yeah, but this movie, they all fucked up.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the issue is with the cast. I think Amanda, I think Kevin, and I think even the kid, they all did what they could with what they were handed.
Yeah.
And even though the dialogue is absolute hot garbage, they're still presenting the lines like they believe it. And so that just shows like their skill as actors.
Yeah. And I honestly believe a lot of the dialogue, the way that it was delivered, probably was director.
Yeah. Yeah. Just not understanding how humans interact.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay. So that's, I didn't look into, maybe I should have, was this a movie that was supposed to be in another language? And then because the dialogue and the emotion feels like if you ran it through Google Translate once or twice.
Yeah. It does feel very like, Eastern European like translation.
Yeah. Yeah. We've watched, especially here lately, we've watched a lot of, you know, not your standard European horror films.
Yeah.
Where we've been getting into the Eastern European stuff. At least I have, thanks to Shudder. And so definitely there's a different approach to dialogue and suspense.
Relationships
especially.
Yeah.
And so this movie has that all over.
Yeah.
And so if this movie would have been a non-English speaking film,
maybe it would have worked a little better.
I think if I was reading subtitles, which I was for this film too, because everybody's so mumbly, maybe I wouldn't have hated it so much, but this is such a fucking mess. Absolutely. I despise this film.
Yeah, it was such a disappointment. I'm never going to get over it.
No, no.
Because I was very excited for
the film. And it's, and I think we even say in the episode, like, this one's not worth watching to make fun of. Because you just kind of feel sad.
No. There needs to be just a compilation of the Kevin Bacon, like, getting scared moments.
Yeah.
And that's literally the only thing worth it in the film.
Yeah. The rest of it is just a waste of time.
Yeah. I'm going to assume our number one is the same because you haven't mentioned this particular movie and I know it's got to be your number one as well, but should we say it at the same time maybe?
One, two, three, Killjoy 2.
Okay, good. Fuck, I'm glad that it was the same movie. Jeez. Oh my God.
Oh no.
I really didn't think it could get worse than the first Killjoy.
Right.
Which... usually that's how it goes, is the first one, it's a little rough because it's independent and they didn't have the budget and they're just getting their feet wet.
Yeah.
So usually the second one of an independent horror franchise is a little better.
It gives them an opportunity to reinvent the wheel, learn from their mistakes.
Yeah, get a budget.
Get a little bit more of a budget. Because, yeah, the sequel is usually bought by a studio. And, you know, and so, yeah, they're like, hey, we know that you guys have something there, so let's go ahead and pump it up.
Yeah.
And what Killjoy 2 does is instead go, hey, the handful of things that actually worked in the first film, we're going to completely remove.
Yeah, let's just completely redo Killjoy altogether.
Yeah.
And make him a racist caricature and make the dialogue even more batshit.
Yeah.
And let's put absolutely no plot in there, but a little bit too much plot in there at the same time.
Yeah. Golly, this movie was embarrassing.
It really was. I was cringing.
Oh my God.
Watching it. And just the sound design.
Yeah.
Effects, just everything.
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense about this film.
No, and Killjoy 2 looks and feels what Killjoy 1 should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, okay, like these people have never made a film before.
Yeah.
They have no clue. They got one person or two people that have some experience in this, you know, this world as far as like, you know, independent horror. And so they'll probably bring it up a little bit, but it's overall going to be a mess because nobody knows the fuck they're doing. Yeah, no, this doesn't have that. And it's the sequel. It shouldn't be, it shouldn't feel like Creature Cabin from last year's list.
Ugh.
Where it's like, oh yeah, these guys, they had an idea. They're trying really hard to pay homage to something, but they fucking fall flat. This isn't paying homage to anything.
Mm-mm.
This is just, it's an original concept that is, it should never have gotten onto paper.
Yeah.
And it definitely should never have gotten to screen.
I don't know, like, what went wrong with this? Now, I will say I am excited to see the next one.
Yeah. We have since watched the trailers for the other movies just to see if it would be worth our time to actually continue watching the Killjoy films.
And I want to give the third one a chance.
Yeah.
Just because it looks crazy.
Yeah.
I hope it is crazy and not just boring.
Yeah. Hopefully the best parts aren't in the trailer.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we kind of agreed on our list.
Yeah.
Of bottoms. I think we had all the same bottoms just in different order.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's crazy. That's never happened before.
Yeah, usually we have a couple differing opinions, but... Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and get into our tops. I'll let you start with what's your number five?
My number five in my tops is The Empty Man.
Nice.
I chose this film because I do think that it needs a little bit of recognition.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of obscure. I'm so glad that our friend showed it to us.
Yes.
For our e-movie this year. Because I went in with not a whole lot of expectation.
Yeah.
And I came out going, wow, I'm so incredibly grateful that I got to see that.
Yeah.
And the biggest reason why it did make my top five is because it was an accidental Lovecraft film.
Yes.
And so that put me way over the edge of loving it because it had Nyarlathotep in it.
Yeah, you almost jumped off the couch when when it finally hit.
Yeah.
Like when the shit hits the fan in the movie, you were like, cheering.
Yes.
Like a hero saved the day. I haven't seen that kind of excitement since we saw Endgame in theaters. Like when Captain America says, "Avengers assemble."
Yeah.
That was your... That was you in this movie.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And it was so funny.
Yeah. I love the way it was shot. I love the story. It's got such a bleak feel to it.
Yeah.
And I love a horror movie that you feel just as hopeless as the main character.
Yeah, you know, it's a really hard balance to have a movie that's bleak but is still entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of movies out there that are really depressing and bleak, and yeah, it does the job because it makes you feel that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But because of it, it holds back the film from being entertaining or interesting.
Yeah. I also like that this kind of has a little bit of that unreliable narrator feel to it as well. Gotta always love that.
I mean, shit, this movie is as unreliable as it gets.
Yes.
Just for the watcher, but the characters too.
Yeah, which is good for a Lovecraft-inspired film.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that movie didn't make my top five.
Oh.
It almost did, but there were a lot of movies that this year, my top five was the hardest.
Yeah, doing the top five was incredibly hard.
You know, between having familiarity with a handful of the films and then also just having some ones that we'd never seen before that just completely surprised me. And that's how I'm going to segue into my number five.
All right.
Which is Terrorvision.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely adore this movie. Mm-hmm. So how I used the insult of Extra being like a bad episode of Monsters.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to use that as a
compliment.
That I think Terrorvision is like a really good episode of Monsters.
It really is. It feels like it could have been an episode of any of those shows.
Yeah. There's so much charm. And it's such... And you have, I would say, at least two completely different movies kind of smashed together in it, because you have this overarching story of we got a creature from outer space killing everybody. Yikes.
Right.
That alone was enough. But then to have the back half of it being an E.T.-esque kids palling around with the monster that literally just killed their family.
Yeah.
Is so 80s and so funny to me. It feels like this could have been a Saturday morning cartoon.
Why wasn't there merchandise? Come on, Ghost Chase.
Right.
Like, why? Terrorvision does need to be more known. As I said, Ghost Chase. Terrorvision.
Yeah.
They're one and the same to me of it needs more popularity.
Yeah.
It would have been a great Saturday morning cartoon. The Adventures of TV.
Yeah, it would have been, because it would have been, I think, more like the cartoon for Little Shop of Horrors.
I was going to say Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
I think the both.
If you would, the same vibe.
Yeah, it has the same vibe. I mean, not quite Toxic Crusaders, but it's in that. This movie would have easily been turned into a cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Because so cartoonish to begin with. You know, they'd have to clean it up with all the sex, the weird sex stuff.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, other than that, this is a solid film that I think Saturday morning cartoon, toys.
They could have had it where the parents go out every night and, I guess we're going to have our adventures with TV now.
It would be basically kind of like the Beetlejuice cartoon.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, the parents leave, they put in *69 or whatever the code on the TV, on the remote. TV pops out. What kind of adventures are we going on? They could have had Bobcat do the voice of TV. It would have been so fun. Also, a TV video game would have been good.
Mm-hmm. With a MIDI version of the freaking awesome theme song.
Oh, the theme song's so fucking good.
It's so good.
Yeah. Terrorvision has stuck in my mind. I think it's a really fun film and more people need to watch it. Yeah, I can't wait to show more people that film.
Yeah. It's funny that it did not make my tops.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I'll let you go ahead and say your four.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be a surprise.
Okay. Oh, all right.
Because it's actually Joyride.
Ah, I was wondering if that was going to make your tops.
Because I have not stopped talking about it since I've seen it.
Yeah. You have brought it up to everybody that'll listen.
That was the surprise of the season for me.
Yeah.
I went into that movie going, I am going to absolutely hate this film.
Yeah.
I did not want to see it back in the day. Why do I want to see it now? Is it even horror?
Yeah, there are a handful of times, I think, over the years of doing A to Z, that I've put a movie on the list and you were like, can we please watch something else? I don't want to watch this. Mm-hmm. There's no way this will be good. And most years, I will go, okay, yeah, I've got four other films to recommend.
Yeah.
And this year I dug my heels in.
Yeah.
And was just like, no, we're going to watch it. Like, we're going to watch this movie.
Yeah.
Either that or it's Jeepers Creepers 2. No.
Well, I'm really glad that you made me watch it.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that you made me watch it because of the surprise of Ted Levine.
Yeah.
Being the voice
yeah.
of Rusty Nail.
Yeah.
And I just haven't stopped thinking about this film because, well, I wish that I had the nostalgia for it, first mm-hmm. of all. I should have watched it back in the day.
Yeah.
Second of all, I chose it because of the surprising suspense scenes.
Yeah.
How I was actually on the edge of my seat during the first time that they kind of meet Rusty Nail.
Yeah, yeah.
In the hotel where the phone rings.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, holy shit, that's so creepy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why it ended up making my top list, because it was just such a shock that I loved it.
It's a fun film. It's such a fun film.
Yeah, I understand why you guys were watching it over and over again back then.
I was trying not to oversell it mm-hmm. because I was like, yeah, you know, we watched it a lot whenever I was a teenager, and it's a fun film and stuff, but maybe I'm remembering it wrong.
Yeah.
Or maybe the hype was just so grand that it made me think it was good.
Yeah.
And so I was definitely nervous whenever we started watching it, because I was like, God, I hope this isn't a fucking drag. And then, yeah, I've seen that movie a dozen times. And I also was still going, oh man, I hope they make it. And I'm like, that's a good film.
I honestly think that this movie, if it had been made back then, if it had been made today, it would be just as good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this is a relatively timeless film.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious it's early 2000s, but it's still, it does feel very timeless. Like, this could be placed in any time period.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only thing that holds it back from maybe a more modern setting is cell phones.
Yeah, lack of cell phones.
Yeah, because they have phones.
There's a lot of horror movies that kind of play around cell phones not being available or whatever nowadays. Yeah. So
it could be a thing, you know.
Yeah.
But that's the aspect of it, I think, that maybe holds it back a little bit. But I feel that it would be nice if they would kind of pull with this movie like they did with Halloween, where they did a film now mm-hmm. that's an actual direct sequel to the first one.
Yeah.
Ignore the other sequels, because those don't count.
We haven't seen them
yet. But come on. But it would be really cool. I mean, it sucks because, you know, Paul Walker's gone, but, you know, Steve Zahn's still around, Lily Sobieski is still around, mm-hmm. Ted Levine's still very much around.
Yes.
And so it would just be really neat to have a, like, just kind of a legacy. Like, I'm usually anti-legacy sequel, because there's been a lot of them, and most of them have not been anywhere close to being good sequels, and so, especially horror ones. And so I'm just like, I don't know, but I think this movie, it would be nice to see a sequel. I think mm-hmm. it would be really cool to follow through on it and see what's going on.
I still say they need to have just that little teeny tiny bit more supernatural element in it.
Yeah.
Because I do honestly believe Rusty Nail has a supernatural element to him.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Yeah. And so that would be very interesting. But, and I think my my working in this moment idea for plot is we don't kill off Paul Walker.
Uh-huh.
But the reason why he's not in the movie is because Steve Zahn's character and Lily's character actually did hook up.
Uh-huh.
And so Paul Walker's character is just, he doesn't talk to them.
Yeah.
Because of
no contact.
Yeah, no contact. You betrayed my love and trust and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so he's not even in the picture at all. But so then it's about those two. And then maybe they have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid finds CB and is trying to get into like that vintage hobbyist stuff. And Rusty Nail is in there. And and so then... And then it's just them. Who have you been talking to? I made friends with Rusty. And they don't even think, because it's been years.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, Rusty's so funny and Rusty's so great. And I'm going to be meeting Rusty. And like, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't be meeting strangers on a CB. It's bad enough kids meet strangers on the internet.
Yeah.
And then, oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe they're waiting with their kid and they see the truck. And so they get in and they go on the run, and then it's just Rusty Nail pursuing them and stuff. I don't know. That's a working idea.
A working idea.
my number four is Pontypool.
Okay.
I absolutely love that movie.
You identify with the main character.
I definitely identify with the main character. but I like zombie films, but I think that they're incredibly tired. I think that the concept is so incredibly cliche, and I think that you throw a rock, you hit 15,000 zombie films.
Right.
And they're all relatively the same idea. So this one took that and made it very claustrophobic and took a concept that was very, very unique as far as approach to infection and all that stuff without getting bogged down too much in explanation.
Yeah.
Because, like, when the doctor comes to the studio, I was like, ah, okay, here we go. We're going to get spoon-fed exactly what's going on.
Right.
And it's going to take the magic away. But instead, it's more nonsense.
Yeah, and it left more questions.
Yes. And so that's what kind of elevated a little bit. It's not a perfect film by any means, but I think that... I was just so incredibly entertained the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just absolutely love that film.
I liked it, too.
Yeah, I know that you're not as big of a fan. Like, after the movie was done, and before I think even recording the episode for it, you were like, I don't know if I like it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you kidding me? I fucking love this. Like, it was one of the very few times that we were very, like, I think a little bit more separate on this.
Yeah, I like the film enough. Especially after thinking about it a little bit more, but it was just missing something for me.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure what, but that's why it didn't make my top list. What's your next one?
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with The Old Dark House.
Oh, okay. I had a feeling that one would probably make your list.
Yeah, I absolutely adore this film in every aspect of it. I like the way it's made as far as the shots go. I like how it's pretty much just a one set, with the exception of when they're driving in the beginning and then the stuff on the stairs and such. But it feels like I'm watching a play.
I was going to say it would make a really great stage production.
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely I love that. The dialogue in it cracks my shit up. Just the way that everybody interacts with each other is really good. I don't think it necessarily drags too much because of how just snappy everything is along the way.
Mm-hmm.
It tells a good story in a very small amount of time. And the ending of it is just incredibly amusing because you had all this really wild night. And then everybody's just like, welp, it's the morning now.
Yep, time to pack it up and pack it out.
And just kind of act like nothing happened. And so that just really entertained me. I this is another one that I would like to own because I enjoy it that much.
Mm-hmm.
What was, unless you got something to say about three, about that movie.
Nope, because that one didn't make my tops at all.
Okay.
What, you want me to say my number three now?
Yeah, go ahead and say your number three.
Let's... Okay. Well, it's Fright Night.
Ah.
It made middle of the road for me because it is one that I have a lot of nostalgia for, but it's one I hadn't seen in a long time. And yeah. So I was really happy to revisit it and love it just as much as I did as a child.
Yeah.
And plus, like, I'm a little biased because it does have a Spark song in it.
Sure.
And
okay.
I absolutely love Fright Night just because of the way that they do vampires, first of all. Mm. I love the fucked up, like, vampire face that they do.
Yeah.
I love the concept of Jerry being a baby vampire. And plus, like, come on. Jerry actually is just so iconic.
Yeah.
And such a great, great, awful young vampire.
Yeah.
But he's just got such a charisma about him. Fright Night is just so much fun and is so, so 80s. Like,
yeah.
If you want a good window into the 80s, especially 80s horror in general, check out Fright Night.
The movie is a classic for a reason.
Exactly.
And though it did not make my top five, I love this movie. I've loved it since the first time I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it still.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's so much about it that absolutely does work. I think that because of the fact that, because of us doing the review for that movie,
uh-huh,
and going, wait a minute, hold on, Jerry's kind of bad at being a vampire. And also, like, the rest of the kids are kind of, like, I was able to poke enough holes in it.
Ah, yes.
That I was like, well, hold on. That doesn't make the movie bad by any means. I think, if anything, it makes it a little bit more entertaining. But I think that's why also it didn't make my top five, is because it doesn't, there's enough about it where I'm like, this plot doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of my choices for my list are specific to the viewing during the A to Z. I had a lot of fun on this viewing of Fright Night, I think, is why it made it to my list.
Sure. Yeah. I don't think that there'll be any listeners out there that are going to be like, how the fuck do you let this get to be in your top five? Because, I mean, this is a widely loved film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever met anybody that said they didn't like it.
Very true.
So with that in mind, I was just like, well, how do I want to treat my top five? Do I want to go with my actual movies I genuinely love and I've loved forever?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to utilize this list to bring attention to movies that maybe aren't loved enough?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also, I actually flat out love them, you know? And so it's so hard because we have these, you know, these easy films to love. But what I like about my top five and your top five every year,
mm-hmm,
is you also bring a really good perspective onto why these movies that are well regarded, why it deserves to be in a top five.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree that, yeah, Fright Night is, it's a classic.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the best 80s horror films. It's one of the best.
It's up there.
It's one of the best horror comedies.
Yep.
Out there, it is. It's just. If you're going to look objectively at, like, you know, say top 10 80s horror comedies, it's, mm-hmm, like, it'd be this, the fucking Ghostbusters films.
Well, believe it or not, Jerry makes a lot of top vampire lists,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it, which is,
even though he's so bad at it,
well, he got that. He has just the drip.
He,
man,
is just dripping with the riz.
Yeah, yes.
100%.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He is just so hot.
Yeah. And so I get it. But yeah, he's like, he should be on more of the list for the worst vampires. You know, it's like him, the head vampire from 30 Days a Night.
Okay, like, yeah, he's kind of...
He's a vampire.
He had to have been young, even though they say he's like hundreds of years old or whatever. I don't care.
He's kind of bad at what he does.
Bad at it.
Yeah. Well, everyone has a bad year, right?
Maybe it was just a bad year for him.
Yeah, he just had,
That's he's getting up there in vampire age, so.
That's the problem with being at the top, is event, like when you fall, it's so much further, and he really shit the bed. Well, I guess that brings us down to our number twos.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to steal it.
You're going to steal number two.
I'm going to steal number two.
Okay. Well, what is it then?
My number two is My Boyfriend's Back.
Oh, well, good that it is, because that's also my number two. So we can talk about it together.
Yay. All right. This movie, it's really funny because the fact that when we watched it, when it made the list, it was pretty much unavailable. And we had to buy a Blu-ray of it, which is also out of print and hard to come
by. But we were like, you know what? It's fine. We want to own this because we know that we do like this movie. Yeah.
And now it's streaming.
Yeah. Literally, I feel like it's on every service now.
Yeah, it popped up, which is great for the listeners. Yes. Because the fact that now they can watch a movie that made it to be the number two of our fucking Halloween hangover. So it must be worth watching.
Oh, yes. And it is.
Oh, my gosh.
It was another one of those movies that I watched so much as a kid and got to revisit as an adult. I was kind of scared, too, especially because we were watching it with friends.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, you know, hyping it up. Oh, it's so good. Believe me, you'll like it.
Yeah.
At the same time, being nervous that it was going to be a complete shit show. And it was great. And it's like one of their favorite films now.
Yeah. So, like I said in the episode, I had not actually watched it up until this.
Well, that makes it so much more surprising that it's on your top.
Exactly. So through your nostalgia goggles be damned. Like, this is just a fun film.
Yeah, this was not like Queen of the Damned, where my nostalgia goggles just completely shattered.
Right.
It was like they turned more rosy.
Yeah. There were so many things about My Boyfriend's Back that was just so incredibly fun. It's a nonsense film.
Yeah, but it's also just so incredibly, like, adorable at the same time. And that scene of his nose falling off is still the best scene in the film. It is so funny.
Yeah, there are so many aspects about it that I was just like, if you're a fan of, but I'm a cheerleader. If you're a fan, I think if you're a fan of John Waters, like, you'll probably like this.
It has a John Waters feel for sure.
But also it sits very well in that weird, that weird horror campiness, like the movie Fido.
I was going to bring up Fido and, of course, Warm Bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
Very much like that.
You know, and kind of like how I had said about Pontypool taking a tired concept of zombies and making it a little bit more interesting. My Boyfriend's Back also does the same thing, but in a very fun way.
Yeah, because it makes it just so normalized.
Yeah. And I mean, in an overarching, and I haven't done any research into the making of the film or anything like that. I haven't watched the commentary. I think that it's just, this movie feels like it's a social commentary on just, I would say, just marginalized groups as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's that, may it be about race, may it be about, you know, sexuality, may it be about gender, I don't know, but it can be utilized to each one of those things throughout history, you know, because the fact there has always been, and probably unfortunately will always be, somebody that has something about them that people are going to begrudgingly have to accept, but also be fucking terrible about
it. Oh my God, that guy only wears sandals all the time.
Now listen.
Get this sandal head out of here.
Ooh, I don't know. That sounds, that's too close to something. I don't know. That might get us in trouble. But yeah. Green socks. Use green socks. That's the better one. But yeah, like, it's such a fun film, and it makes you think, like, accidentally. And plus also Philip Seymour Hoffman being in the mix was really funny,
of course.
And Matthew McConaughey showing up in the movie theater scene was funny. It's just, there's so much about it that I absolutely love. I'm so incredibly happy that we own it now, even though now it's streaming, but hey, now we can watch it anytime we want,
and we made fans.
Yeah, yeah, we got some people that really enjoyed it. I hope that anybody that listens to this episode that hasn't listened to the My Boyfriend's Back episode, go back and listen to it. But also, watch this movie.
Yeah.
Just plain and simple, 100%. Watch this movie. Stop what you're doing. Get your hands on it however you can, because it's super fun. This brings us down to our number one.
Yes.
I'll let you do your number one.
My number one is Hereditary.
My number one is also Hereditary.
Okay. I had a feeling it might make your list because you were very surprised that you did actually love it.
Yeah.
And I'm very surprised that it is your number one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a surprise to me, too.
It made my number one because it was just as good as I remembered it.
Yeah.
It goes to show that this movie is good if you're under the influence or not.
Yes, yes. And don't divulge into that. Don't talk about that, because that, if you want to understand, listen to the Hereditary episode.
Yes. Now, it's just such a well thought out, beautiful film that hits so heavy on mommy issues.
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to be frank about it. The way that they explore mommy issues in this is very interesting.
Yeah.
And it shows that emotional, like, abuse so well.
Yeah.
You just can't get that scene of her head on the road out of your mind.
Yeah. There are, and the reason why this movie made it to my number one is there are only a handful of films out of all the horror films I've watched that actually make me feel uncomfortable.
Yes, this film does it very well.
And for so many different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, I honestly can't think of many that have made me go, I wish this scene would end because I don't know if I can handle it much longer.
Yeah.
And
Are you thinking about him just laying in the bed and
her screaming the two times of her, like it's her whenever she finds the body, and then it's the funeral. Like, I'm just like, fuck, like it hurt, my sides hurt. It felt like I was being squeezed.
Yeah.
And then of course the head scene, it sticks on that probably about four beats longer than it should have, but in a great way.
And that's it was necessary for them to do that.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that anything about this, and, you know, people use gratuitous, usually speaking about gore or about sex and stuff. But it can be applied to, there can be gratuitous emotion. And there can be gratuitous establishing shots. You can use that word for a lot of other things other than sex and violence. This movie, I feel that the cut that we watched is perfectly aligned to what it needed to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I said in the episode that I know that there is many hours of additional footage of the family stuff and all that. And I think that that would have been fine if the movie didn't have the horror aspect, because, and I think I also said it in the episode, that this would have been a fine film if it was just a drama about a dysfunctional family dealing with loss. This movie does it perfect.
Been very horrifying.
It would have been, without the supernatural occult aspect of it, this movie would have still been, I think, tops as far as just drama. But because it has the supernatural element of it and executes that incredibly well, I absolutely love the seance aspect of it. The glass, something, it's such a simple effect of the glass moving.
Yeah.
But it does it in such a natural way that you don't get hung up on it going, oh, this is too fantastical.
Right.
You accept it as real because the movie doesn't, like, it doesn't play it up mm-hmm. any more than it needs to. Like, I think the reactions are all very natural
yeah.
and realistic.
Yeah, and I just like the rhythm of the movie
yeah.
is so good.
Yeah.
Because, like, the ending especially where mm-hmm. it's all coming up to a boil
yeah.
and there's that music playing
yeah.
and, like,
oh, God.
Just everything is so spooky feeling. I'm getting goosebumps right now just yeah. thinking about the ending in general. I freaking love...
Well, we didn't like talk about the ending in the episode.
Okay,
so
yeah,
here's the
true.
Thing. But what this is the thing is, so Halloween Hangover, warts and all. So
warts and all,
like,
yeah.
So, like, if you wanted to go in, if you thought that we were going to go into this spoiler-free, it's a mistake. and so this is your warning. If you haven't seen Hereditary and you haven't listened to our episode actually for it and stuff, whatever. But yeah, let's, like, since we didn't get to actually talk about the ending of Hereditary in the episode because it's so fucking bananas.
Yeah.
We can talk about it now.
Yeah, when Peter finally makes it up into the treehouse and sees
yeah.
the whole cult there naked and worshiping the embodiment.
Yes.
Of Charlie, of the god, of
yeah.
just like the whole... layout is, it just blows your mind.
Yeah,
you're like, what the hell is going on? It's like nothing you've seen in any other like cult film because
yeah.
it's so real.
Yeah, the attic, from the attic to the treehouse.
Yeah,
that whole segment, it gave me the sensation of when you're having a particularly intense nightmare
mm-hmm.
and you just can't wake up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so you like, you get that, like, nightmares can be scary, but having that inability to escape from it, you get that extra scare, that
yeah,
extra fear,
like,
feeling.
Like the feeling that you know exactly what's going on in the dream, but nothing you do is helping anything.
Yeah, you have
it's
no control.
It's making things worse even.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is exactly what this ending feels
yeah.
like.
It is so incredibly intense, and I just couldn't get enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like I said, I was so incredibly uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
whenever they put the crown on him.
Yeah.
And everything's happening.
And then he starts clicking his
yeah.
tongue.
Yeah. I was like, I can't take it. I can't take much more. When the movie ends, I was so relieved.
You feel like you can breathe again.
Yeah.
As soon as those credits start, you're like,
yeah. Like my blood pressure was through the roof. I was so incredibly like just going, oh shit, I can't, like, please don't let anything else happen. Because I was like, if they actually did a jump scare.
I know. It would have been, that would have ruined it if they had actually put something in at the end.
It would have ruined it, but it also would have scared the fuck out of me because I was so incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah.
By this point, because the roller coaster that you're going through of him being chased by the demonic version of his mom
mm-hmm.
to getting into the attic to then going into the treehouse.
Yeah.
And it's just like, by this point in the movie, you're just like, everything's on the table. They could literally do anything at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't surprise me. And I know it would just wreck me. And so I didn't know what to expect. And it's kind of like last year when we talked about Smile
mm-hmm.
and how the ending of it goes, where you're just like, oh my God, like, I didn't expect this. I didn't see coming. I was almost, in a way, expecting an actual demon to come ripping out of him or something of that.
Right.
It would have been, I think, I'm so thankful they didn't do that because I think it would have cheapened the
yeah.
experience.
I like kind of having it up to audience interpretation of what happens next.
Yeah.
But I am just so curious as to what happened to that world after
yeah.
the ritual happened.
Well, so... that's what makes this movie and The Empty Man so incredibly interesting
mm-hmm.
because, and we had a lot of movies on our list this year, just kind of wrap it up a little bit. We had a lot of movies this year that had similar themes, But also we had a lot of movies this year that didn't necessarily have a happy ending. Mm-hmm. We had world-ending events, basically. With Hereditary, if in fact this is all real, then they just brought an ancient evil into the real world. And basically all bets are off.
Yeah.
With Pontypool.
Same thing.
Like, we have a world-ending event happen on a very small scale. But thanks to the end credits, you know that it's spread. Mm-hmm. And so Lord knows what's going to happen for that. The Empty Man is also the same. Terror Vision is also an unhappy ending, unless you're in the camp of being a happy ending for TV.
I think TV had a good time, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, even in our bottom movie list, Skinamarink is not a happy ending.
Yeah, because those kids are stuck in that
limbo
or hell, like wherever they're at.
You Should Have Left is an unhappy ending.
Mm-hmm. He's stuck in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's pretty much each one of them is an Extro 3 is also an, like, they're all
Fibes
is an unhappy ending because we didn't get the him leaving in the hot air balloon. It still has, it inexplicably has a sequel, but and I can't wait to watch that movie just to know how the fuck that happens.
Right.
But yeah, like I think that this year's A to Z was the bleakest.
Mm-hmm.
Of all of our years, because almost all of them. So with Fright Night, it ends with, you know, with, it was like, oh shit, because Ed, you hear laughing and he saw the eyes in the window.
Yep.
And so it's just like the Blob has all these movies. Like, it's pretty much an unhappy ending, with the exception of maybe what, like My Boyfriend's Back?
Well,
maybe The Old Dark House.
If it wasn't a bad ending for our main characters, it was a somebody walking off into the sunset or moonlight. So,
yeah,
you know, either way,
it
was ambiguous endings.
Yes, So, absolutely, I couldn't be happier with this year's A to Z as far as the movies that we selected. Even the ones that sucked, I'm glad that we watched them.
Yeah. Now, of course, we do always put in a couple of honorable mentions.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there might be a couple of people that will be shocked that one didn't make my list.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, of course, Van Helsing.
Yeah.
I decided not to put it on my top because it is just such a legacy movie for me.
Yeah.
I already know that I love it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to keep it off of my top list because I didn't want to have to reiterate everything
Well,
I knew about it.
So like I had said about Fright Night and stuff, is I feel like some movies are obvious. And Van Helsing, obvious. The Blob, obvious.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are like just top movies for me in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not going to put them on a list of all these other movies I got to explore.
Yeah. So speaking of Van Helsing, and I don't know if you saw, but I have to do a segment that I don't think we really have ever done before, which is corrections, editorial, and apologies.
I did see that. Yes.
And I'm going to be cheeky about this because the fact that I had realized it while we were recording the episode, an error.
And
that
you
we
didn't take it out.
And I did not take it out.
Oh.
Because I thought it was funny. And okay. Also, there are several episodes that I have left stuff in, I think as bait to get comments.
Ah.
And
it worked.
And it
we
worked.
We finally hooked them.
And that is for Van Helsing, when we were talking about the experience overall for the film and how it would be an exciting, like, live show to see at, like, Universal Studios.
Uh-huh.
We had said, you know, like Indiana Jones, in reference as if Indiana Jones would be a live show at Universal Studios, when no, it's a Disney, it's a Disney property.
Yeah.
And it's and the live show is at, it's at Disney World. It's at, you know, it's not going to be Universal thing. And it's one of those things where I think if we were filming the recording of the episode,
You'd be able to see in your brain your...
Well, no, you would have saw the face I make. Because I go, because I think, like, oh, Universal. Mm, and I make a face. I just, I'm going to sit in that mistake. And I like to leave in errors just to see if someone catches it.
Not and, any of my errors, please.
No, no. Very rarely, I think, have I ever left anything in for you. But I'm all about having egg on my face and because it gives it opportunity to have interaction. And so, yes, thank you to our longtime listener for taking the time to point it out. But also, I genuinely appreciate this person for being a regular commenter on a lot of our episodes and just always pointing out the things that I hope people point out, not just the mistakes, but also the moments that I think are really funny, the things that will get me to laugh when I'm editing an episode. We don't get a whole lot of comments, not nearly as many as I wish we would. And this person always actually points out the very stuff that I'm like, this is the thing that I think people will think is funny. And that person always, always delivers. And so I appreciate them. And yeah. So, another honorable mention would be It Follows.
Oh yeah.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Very cool concept.
It's a very cool concept. I just think that there was so much about it that maybe didn't work. That's why I didn't make my top.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun making that edit.
Yes. Oh yeah.
And as I'm talking about edits, it sounds like I made all that stuff. No.
No.
We have another ghoul working for us now.
Yeah.
Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
That was also helping make fun edits for the TikTok profile,
yeah,
as well as they worked on all of our clips, listened,
yes,
to every episode.
Yeah.
And we could not have done the A to Z this year without our nameless ghoul.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of our two additional staff members that have either brought to our attention movies that we would not have watched otherwise,
mm-hmm,
but also, yeah, like, that was the aspect of this year that made it different from all years prior, is every year I always say, well, we're going to eventually go something on TikTok. We're eventually going to do this or that. And that, like, we just usually don't have the time,
yeah,
or the energy or even the concept for doing additional stuff. And so this year I was so incredibly appreciative of the fact that we have somebody that is just as passionate and took the time to find, and in some of the episodes it was hard to find,
mm-hmm,
a clip,
yeah,
to snag on, either because maybe we weren't having a great time talking about the movie, like Killjoy.
Yeah.
You know, or there's a lot of funny stuff. It's like, well, what the fuck do you pick out of all this to throw in as a clip? So, I mean, it's not an easy endeavor, and mm-hmm, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. So very thankful,
yeah,
to our new employees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our one goal not only helped with movie selection and helping to get our hands on some of the movies,
yeah,
he also helped us film a little,
yes,
bit,
yeah,
too. One of the new things that we got to do this year was we got to do a little bit of promotion for a local haunt.
Yeah, yeah. Field of Screams was kind enough to let us go out to their haunt in Nixa, Missouri, to check out what they've got going on. And we're in, like, so incredibly kind and just as enthused about everything.
Yes.
And
yes,
and we got to have some really good conversation with them after we got to experience their two haunts. And yeah, it was really fun. Three cheers to the person that was dressed up as Captain Spaulding.
Yes,
that was
he
patient.
Was great.
Yeah, that was patient enough to go through the paces to film our little opening thing for that edit. Also, it turns out that was it's his first year.
Yeah.
So good for him, because
he was
great.
So in character.
Yeah.
He was so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody out there is so incredibly passionate about horror and about being scary,
mm-hmm,
and stuff. And what they do is great, and they're very good at it. And a factor about what they do is that's so incredibly insane to me is the fact that they tear down every year and,
yeah,
rebuild every year.
Yeah, that is very crazy to me because they have so many intricate sets.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it just really So next year, if you're in the Nixon, Missouri area and you're looking for a spooky good time, I highly recommend going out to Field of Screams. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of really good local talent. And so I would hate to not bring up the fact that in Springfield, we've got Hotel of Terror and Dungeons of Doom.
Yes.
They're fantastic. They're also great people, and they have a great haunt. But we didn't get to go out there this year. So
yeah.
I don't get to gush about them specifically as much as I'd like to.
Hopefully next year we'll be able to get out there.
Yeah, but we just didn't expect to have all the opportunity that we had this year. Because on top of that, we also got to attend a fantastic play.
Mm-hmm. The Woman in Black.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. One of our very good friends of the show, Nathan Shelton, was in town to do a horror stage production of The Woman in Black. And I will tell you, folks, if it wasn't clear from how much I was gushing about it through our social media, it was such a fantastic production.
Mm-hmm.
It was so flipping good.
Yeah.
I was trying to drag anybody that would listen to see it. And hopefully some of those people actually went. And hopefully they got some butts in seats from us gushing about it online. And if not, you guys missed out.
You really
plain
did.
Plain and simple.
Because I've never attended a play where I actually did get like goosebumps.
Yeah.
There was a couple of scenes that they did that, like, first of all, bravo to them for, like, the set design was so cool.
Oh, so fun, yeah.
So, like, it's a simple set.
Yeah.
But the way that they had it set up was just so cool. And the way that they set up some of the spooky scenes was just so awesome.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Yeah, yeah.
Encore.
Yeah, right. For real. I wish that this show would come back through.
Yeah.
Because I would watch it. If we had more time, if we weren't
working to go see it again.
Yeah, I wanted to see it every damn night. Like, it was one of those things, like, midway through the production, I had this realization where I was like, oh, no. I really like this, and I really would like to watch this more than once.
I know,
like,
yeah.
I was like, I wish I could have this to watch, like, I wish I had it on DVD. I wish I had VR goggles I could put on and just experience this over and over again, because I love it so much.
Yeah, both Nathan and his co-star Heath Hillhouse.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Their chemistry together, amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, you know, they're old friends. So, like, of course their chemistry is great, but just the stage presence.
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, Heath, his performance, being able to embody, I don't know, how many characters did he end up technically doing?
It's like a
doing?
Rolodex of characters.
Yeah, yeah, so his range of being able to present all these various characters on a flip of a switch, pretty much, was fantastic. And then also, so where the production took place, it was at the Fox Historic Theater here in Springfield. And if anybody knows anything about stage, stagecraft and such, is the older the theater, the more noise. Like creaky floorboards and just and it's echoey as fuck and stuff. And to be able to pull off some of the stage jump scares, I guess you could put it.
Yeah.
Some of the scariest moments in it, of where the Woman in Black popped up, for them to accomplish some of it and not be spoiled by just the sound of the person moving around backstage is impressive.
Yeah.
Like, part cat.
It was good that they actually got a few, like, screams and stuff.
Yeah.
I was so impressed.
It was so nice, yeah. Hearing the audience reactions, like, gasps and stuff was... It's rare. It's rare.
Yeah,
especially in such a small, like, environment and stuff. Like, it was great. Yeah, fantastic. 10 out of 10. Wish I could experience it every week. One other thing I want to touch on before we completely wrap this up is for our regular listeners and even our new listeners, you may have noticed that we had some distribution issues this year for the A to Z. And so for a good chunk of October, the episodes weren't uploading thanks to some issues with the website Internet Archive. That's who I use to distribute our stuff. They were having problems with hackers and all their shit went down. And so that ultimately meant that none of our stuff was going out. Our feed was ruined. And so we woke on the entire month without having episodes out during our most important month of the year.
Yeah.
And so I switched us over to a new company that that is fantastic. I can actually follow our metrics. And I know this is the technical shit no one cares about, but maybe someone out there does. maybe some people that are trying to get into podcasts can appreciate that. But I just want to say thank you to everybody that stuck with us. Throughout the technical difficulties, and a huge thank you for people that not only stuck with us but are going back and listening to episodes.
Yeah,
I see you. And so, you know, I know that the A to Z is not only a gauntlet for us to make, but it's also a gauntlet for people to get through to listen to.
Yeah,
it's a lot. You know, it's 26, roughly 26 hours of content. I mean, unless you're just a real binging kind of person, that's not an easy task. Even my favorite podcasts I listen to, that's not how I'm going to, I'm not going to do that. So I get it. And so, but I love the fact that people are going back and listening. I love the fact that people are going back and commenting and messaging even. One of our other friends of the show that messages usually exclusively through Instagram has been going back and listening to episodes and commenting and stuff. And I think that's really fun. And thank you to you. You know who you are. fantastic. So I think that's it. Let's wrap it up.
This is our longest hangover, I think.
It might be. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Of course, coming up will be our Thanksgiving episode. And then we will get back into our bi-weekly schedule for our new season, our year 5. Oh, boy. We've got a lot going on. We've got a lot of new concepts coming up. And thanks to having two new ghouls in our production, we'll be able to execute a lot of stuff that we've not been able to in the past. So see what happens this next season. Of course, always please reach out to us for ideas for episodes you'd like to hear us talk about. Movie recommendations are always welcome. And if you would like to see more stuff from us outside of just podcast things, definitely follow us on TikTok because we got a lot of wacky things in the works for that. Speaking of Thanksgiving, I guess I ought to tell you what our Thanksgiving episode is going to be. And that is a sequel.
Yes.
Yes.
Finally.
Yeah. So
what I've wanted all these years.
Yeah. We, a few years back, reviewed an unconventional Thanksgiving movie.
But it's about food.
It's about food.
It's about eating.
Yes. Yeah, it's yeah. So we had reviewed the movie The Platform, which for longtime listeners, if you've actually listened to that one, we loved that movie. And yep. We were like, damn, if only this got a sequel, because we need to learn more about this universe. Well, hot damn, they made a sequel.
Yes.
And so our next episode.
I'm so excited.
Yes. Our next episode will be us talking about The Platform 2.
Woo!
Boy, I hope they stick the landing.
I do too. I am too excited about this movie.
Yeah. So see how it goes next time. Until next time, if you find yourself needing to find something to watch, just know that there is an endless sea of scary movies. So before you set sail, be sure you have plenty of snacks, a cold beverage, and a wonderful ghoul to share the experience with. And most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to Podcast Magoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis, themed by James Davis. Like what you heard, be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh